Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Tropical Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy with you along with QT Vokes and JB Moonshine. Real fast before we jump into it, if you're looking for some halftime entertainment, Wrestle Club having a live stream of a match. So get on the Wrestle Club Facebook or the YouTube channel. You can check out a live pro wrestling match during the course of the afternoon. But today we are talking side jobs in pro wrestling. It is not uncommon for pro wrestlers to pick up a job in order to help pay the bills and supplementing their wrestling earnings. There's a wide variety of jobs out there that wrestlers hold in addition to pro wrestler. We're going to be exploring that. And with us we have so far Vinny Vachetti. We have Mr. Hickman, and we have wonderful Zach Winters with us. So I think my first question to each of you is going to be, what exactly does your side job have, like as far as like what career is it, and how, if any relation is there to wrestling for you? Well, I'll go in order and how long I've known you. So, Vinny Vachetti, that would be you to start.
Absolutely. Sign Guy, it is an honor to be here. My third appearance on the wrestling show. I definitely appreciate your asking me to be on today. Yes, I am a butcher. I am not a meat cutter, okay? There's an extreme difference. A meat cutter can get the box out of the back room and cut that primal into a piece of meat. I am a butcher. I can knock it in the head while it's standing there, skin it, gut it, and hang it, and wait for it to age long enough to make it into food for you. That's what I do.
Now, is there any correlation, Vinny, as far as how you use being a butcher to translate into wrestling, or is there no real correlation on your part?
Well, let's look at it like this from different angles. See, it's a very strenuous physical job. You're talking about 250-pound quarters, sometimes higher. You know, most times it takes two people to pick it up, you know. You're talking about the primals, sometimes the rounds. You know, they're 100 pounds, the round being the back end, obviously, you know. So it's a very physical job. You get, you know, when I was younger, and God knows I'm old now, but when I was younger, there's record of me picking up an entire quarter by myself and going through several doorways with it, you know. It's not an easy job for people. So it's physically demanding, for one, and then you learn muscle structure, for two. So to break down an opponent, you learn how to separate the knee joint, right? You gotta get your knife in there, and you got to whittle at those joints and get that to come apart and break it seam by seam. When you're talking about a piece of meat and you got to get different cuts out of it, you can, you know, you're taught where the seams are, how to separate them. So to remove flesh from bone, you know, I was never a hardcore wrestler, you know that. But, you know, as a grounding pounder and a brawler and a boxer, you know, I knew where to hit. I knew where to put the poundage on. So it helps with the psychological process as well, because For those of you who don't know, in the slaughterhouse trade, you have to walk the animal in the back door where it's been kept up all night because it probably got dropped off the day before. And these animals, they can smell blood, right? So the animal comes in and realizes this is not a good situation and starts to panic. So it's called the kill box, right? So we walk him into the kill box, and in modern society, they use these pneumatic hammers. It's a little gun that's got a little bitty pneumatic device in the inside of it. You touch it to their forehead, and sometimes there's a rod, and it shocks them, you know? That's what causes them to die instantly, so there's no suffering. Now, back when I started the business, we still used the rifle. So I prefer the large bore rifles, the 45s, that way it gets over with quick, you know, even though you lose some cheek meat, you know. So, you know, the animal goes down and there's twitching and there's screaming, you know, and you got to put the hooks to the Achilles tendon. You got to drag him out into the floor, start raising the hoist up, and while he's still flailing, you got to slice the throat. You reach up there with a blade through his innards while he's still breathing and slice the heart so that he bleeds out quickly. And it's not a fun game to play. It is not for the weak-spirited individual. You have to have a strong will to do this job. I know many, many butchers who their personal vice was alcoholism because they couldn't handle the screaming and the yelling, you know. I witnessed a hog get shot in the head 7 times, and it was still flailing when they got it up on the hooks, you know. But I've also heard the stories of buffalo with the thick, thick skulls being shot with a single shot .22 and going straight down like no problem. You know, it wasn't a matter of the butcher missing the shot on those 7 rounds. It was the fact that sometimes they're just not meant to die. So you know, you have to have a strong, strong character to be in this business. So when you get in the ring and someone's threatening to murder you, someone's threatening to break you, someone's threatening to cripple you, you've seen it all already. You know, the only guy that can top me will be the person who's in the service. He can top me easy, but no, to top me at this point, yeah, you're gonna have to fight hard. But no, I've been doing this since the '90s, and it's a glorious trade. I've become very good at my craft, but you know, if you gave it to me to do over again, absolutely, yeah, it's a skilled trade that you can take anywhere in the world, and just like professional wrestling. It's a craft that you can go anywhere in the world and do it.
All right. So next up, wonderful Zach Winters. You want to tell us what your side profession is and if it correlates at all into your wrestling career?
So mine isn't as fun or as horrific as being a butcher, but I'm a bartender at a 5-star luxury resort. Like I said, if we want to be really pretentious, I'm a mixologist. What I basically just like if cooking was science, bartending is chemistry, and I'm trying to get all the good flavors, all the alcohol to people, the best kind of liquors, what mixes with what well without exploding in my face. As far as it goes to wrestling, I'd say just like Mr. Vinny was kind of describing, it is a very physically demanding job, but almost in the opposite way, where he's very, he's just lugging these 200-pound animals around. I'm moving fast. I got to work on my speed. I got to think quickly what mixes what. If somebody wants some drink I've never heard of, I've got to try to whip it up as fast as I can. It's great cardio because I'm running up and down that bar trying to make everything as fast as I can and get it out to people as fast and good as I can. And I've been doing it for about 8 years, and I love it. I think it's fun.
All right, Mr. Hickman, you were the aforementioned service member, so you want to tell us kind of what it is that you do and if it correlates at all into what you're doing in pro wrestling.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show. It's definitely, it's always an honor to be on your podcast and things like that. So I'm in the United States Air Force. Based in my career field is, we call it traffic management. So it's broken down in four different parts. Two parts of it is kind of like a desk job or whatnot. You know, we members, as we move around, you know, we PCS. So the household goods part of it, excuse me, basically we help members get their stuff shipped to wherever they're PCSing to. And if they're going to fly, the other part of my job is to get them plane tickets. The other side, other two jobs, we basically, when we receive parts into the base and we send them out to other bases as well. So it could be, we have multiple shops on the base, so we send these parts out to whoever needs them. And then other bases put orders out saying they need this, they need that. So we go in there, we pack everything up, and then we send it out to them. So, but in terms of connecting it to my character as Mr. Hickman, the physical part of the job, you know, is like kind of like some things can be heavy. You're on your feet. You know, obviously either you're packing stuff or you're checking things out. So you get a lot of exercise, you know, in terms of that part of it. But in terms of with my character, I think with me just being in the military, that's what adds to my Mr. Hickman character. So, you know, being in the military, serving the country and everything, and then being able to translate that into my wrestling character, that's where the identification matches each other. So, but yeah, that's basically the gist of it for me.
All right, so my next question is, in wrestling, you go out there and you're performing in front of a crowd of people, and you're making them either hate you or love you. You're doing things that normal people out on the streets don't get to do. When you're doing your side job and you're working alongside, like, just regular coworkers where you're coming into contact with people from all walks of life, do you get recognized by those fans that watch you perform, and are they kind of separating the performer from the person that's doing this other job? Vinny, we'll go with you.
All right. But first of all, let me point out that, Sign Guy, I've known you for 20-plus years, and not once, not one time have I ever been on Book Them Friday, you dirty, rotten son of a... It's too late now. It's too late now. All right? That ship has sailed. But anyway, listen. No, for years I wore a mask, and then where I was at the time in my youth, I wrestled far away from where I worked. So there wasn't a whole lot of people who saw me both wrestle and at the shop. So, you know, I moved around a lot and done different places and worked different retail establishments. And you don't have anybody outside of the internet world that you know, walk in every day and say, "Hey, aren't you?" You know. So, and the fact that I don't carry my accent over to my public life, you know, makes it harder for people to point me out. Unless it's Halloween, in which case I'm doing it anyway. So, to get on this vein here, the entertainment aspect of it, see, you have to song and dance the customer. You know, you have to be able to sell them on what they should buy, what you want them to buy. And this is the same in the wrestling business. You want the fans to buy this, but buy that. You know, the artistic form of butchery, you know, crafting. I make various shapes out of my medium is ground sausage, matter of fact. So I will make hog head. Yeah, that's the easy one out of sausage. I have made like Santa Claus in a sleigh out of sausage before. and Christmas trees and a turkey. Yeah, I made a buffalo head, a zombie out of hog ground sausage, and you know, it's an art form. And then you take this same kind of behavior and you take it into the wrestling ring. You're crafting what you want the customer to see, and based on what you show them is whether or not they like it. They like you or they hate you. So you show them the bad side of things, they're gonna hate you. So you know, I these two things have worked out real well for me.
All right. Well, we've been joined by the very beautiful and talented Sunny Day. So I want to catch her.
That's
up.
That's right.
Miss Days, the first question we asked, can you tell us what your side job in regards to supplementing the wrestling is, and does it correlate at all to what you're doing in pro wrestling?
Well, first off, I try and figure out what it is, the career that I'd like to be, that can coincide with wrestling. Because you know as well as I do, I am a huge wrestling fan, and I've been a huge wrestling fan my entire life. So in the beginning, my day job was personal training, dietary and nutrition. And then it turned into something else. Of course, it happened to be with fitness in a gym, and I did that for about 5-6 years. But for the last 4 years, I've decided that going back to school was inevitable. So this time when I went back to school, I did insurance for cars, business, homes. And no matter where I go, I can get a job, even in Puerto Rico or Canada.
Very, very nice. All right. So, Zach, back to the other question for you. Do you ever get people that come in and they're wanting a drink and they suddenly see wonderful Zach Winters preparing that drink?
I don't know about Zach Winters, but I know for myself,
Yeah,
wait,
I've
a minute.
Recognized that
Zach
a couple
Winters?
Times.
You have a job?
Why is that shocking?
Well, you're Zach Winters. I figured you'd be a gigolo in a mall or something.
No. That career got passed up. I got tired of that.
Well, how often do you get seen?
It happens quite often, especially because especially in the since I work in the Oregon area, and it's kind of a tight knit area between where I work and Portland. But so, like I said, I work in a 5-star luxury resort hotel, and we always keep magazines in the rooms. And there's been more than once that BCW has been featured in those like local What to Do in Portland magazines, and I've been recognized because I've had my picture in those magazines, and then they come to the bar to get a drink, and there's the guy in the picture serving them, making them a drink.
That would be a little bit jarring, depending on the circumstance. Now, Mr. Hickman, what about you? Do you ever get recognized by fellow servicemen that may have seen you in the ring?
So when I was in Idaho, anybody that followed me on Facebook or Instagram, everybody knew. I have so many people that supported my, you know, my wrestling career. So everywhere I went, you know, because, you know, I also have my twin brother, Hollywood Hickman. So either I get recognized as Mr. Hickman or someone who yell, hey, what's up, Hollywood? And it's just kind of like on base, it was all the time. So off base, no one knew, like, who I was. One guy, actually, in the parking lot, I'm, like, leaving Walmart. I'm trying to hurry up because, you know, I'm trying to get home because that's how I am. I hate being in Walmart, period. But one guy, he stopped me. He's
too.
Like, hey, man. Yeah, it sucks. But one guy stops me. He's like, hey, are you Mr. Hickman, Hollywood? I was like, at first I said no, you know, because I was like, no, that's not me. But then I was like, yeah, it's me. He said, man, I watch Russell Club all the time, man. You're awesome, blah, blah, blah. And it really made me feel great because I was like, dang, for the first time, you know, I hear everybody else get recognized. And finally, I'm like, my mind was blown. Made my day, actually. And I was just like, wow, that's really cool. So But yeah, outside of the military base, no. But anywhere else I go, I'm well recognized for my wrestling career and things I've done.
I really wish people would not recognize me. I think it's the hair.
Could be.
Could be. Get recognized quite a bit, Miss Days.
Yes, sir, I do. I've had a client who was just looking for an insurance quote for vehicle insurance come into the office and go, hey, wait a minute, you're Sunny Days. And, of course, my boss looks at me like I am, I don't know, he just like this curious look. And the next thing I know, I have to say yes. Yes, I am. How can I help you today? Wait a minute. You have a regular job? Well, yes. Yes, of course I do. It's quarantine time. So, you know, how else is a wrestler supposed to make money if they want to keep their clothes on? So I just have a regular job, just like everybody else. I did some volunteer work for my children. And what grade was that in? Fifth grade? The student trip with the class and everything to the, where did we go? Do you remember that? The estuary, that's right. We were out at the estuary because we were studying sea life. And I actually had some kids say, aren't you Sunny Days, the wrestler? And I, you know, at first I had to say no. I wanted to say no. So I did, and then I had two other kids come up to me and go, wait a minute, you are Sunny Days. I know you're Sunny Days. So that's when I knew the jig was up, and I might as well just tell, yes, I am Sunny Days. How can I help you? Wait a minute, you're Sunny Days, and you're on my field trip? Yes, yes, I am. I watched you on Twitch. So with Blue Collar Wrestling being featured on Apple for their podcast and everything, I've had the opportunity to not only be recognized at the worst place in the world to be recognized, Walmart, but also at school and also in my job in the office when I don't have my Sunny Days face cap on, so to speak.
I bet it's the voice they recognize.
Maybe. I don't know. But that wouldn't make any sense. I went to a Fozzy concert, and they recognized me there. So, I'm a huge Chris Jericho fan.
I could see it. Well, right now, my co-host
JB
Moonshine is with us, and I bet JB has questions for everybody. So, JB, take it right away.
Hey. Yeah.
Shut up, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Not very prepared for this, but one of the questions is wrestling and having your work and everything like that. I mean, do you process or does the employment have any problem with having to, you know, request time off or having issues with your guys' wrestling at all type thing? I mean, do your wrestling and employment, like, butt heads?
The only thing I really butt head about with my boss is when I come in, because I've kind of ventured into, like, hardcore deathmatch wrestling. And the only thing we really butt heads about is me coming in having cuts all over my face and limping everywhere. And
that's
then,
the one I have to deal with.
But yeah, and then I've never. They've always been really cool with me as long as I get like a month in advance notice for a booking. Then they're pretty cool with working with me for going traveling out of state or anything.
Yeah, me too. Any bookings that are out of state, I have to put in for the time off a month in advance. A lot of people used to make, you know, they would look at me like I was crazy when I did that. But then once they realized that, you know, pro wrestling isn't just, you know, it's not a hobby for me. It's my career and I love it so much that I will personally take time off to go and do my wrestling And, you know, when it's out of state, it's just more, for me, it's just more pleasurable to wrestle.
Yeah.
But then you come back, even though you're all messed up. I'm sorry, what?
Vinny, do you have problems with the boss when you are wrestling?
Well, you know, again, I've been at this for 20 years, and in the retail field, you know, as long as you put in enough time in advance, you know, I can't be there that day, and if they want to give you grief about it, it's like, well, look at it like this. Either you can find someone to work that day, or you're going to be short staffed. You pick one. But in the more recent years, it's not been hard at all. It's hard on the business that I'm working for because our busiest days are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know. So everybody's running shows on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, I take a Friday night off to go to Indianapolis, and then, you know, I'm walking funny on Saturday trying to keep up. Or I'm at a show on Saturday, and then I'm walking funny Sunday, you know. But I've gone to work with damaged body parts and, you know, unable to lift and unable to, you know, I never not be able to hold a knife in my hand. But it's hard to do certain things when you take a serious, serious whipping. But no, I've never really had any issues like that.
Mr. Hickman, your boss is a government. You ever have issues with it?
So for the military, we do have a policy in terms of I think it's called dangerous something with involving dangerous sports. So with like I have to sign a waiver, letting them know that hey, I'm doing this, blah blah blah. So fill out this waiver. So any injuries that I sustain, they know about it because if they don't, all the costs and surgery and stuff like that falls on me. But in terms of like getting time off. Pretty much, I would say 100% of the time, since I'm off on the weekends, I never had an issue. But if something did come up that might cause a conflict with me going to a show, I would talk to my leadership like, hey, I got a show at this time. Is there a way I could work with we could work, you know, you guys could work with me so that way I can make this show and then, and do what I need to do. And not one time I've ever had an issue. To get that time at all. So I've been very blessed not to run into any issues like that. So.
JB, you got more questions?
Yeah, another one I would be because of wrestling, you know, could be being a dangerous sport and everything. Has anybody ever got into like an injury because, you know, wrestling doesn't pay for hospital bills or any of that crap or stuff like that. Has anybody got into an injury where like it caused them to miss work and, you know, suffer a little
yes.
bit? I mean, you know.
No.
Yes.
resin cough.
In terms for me, I've been very blessed not to run into any, like, serious injuries. I mean, we all know how wrestling is, you know. It's very, you know, the physicality can be, you know, it is a lot. So, but I haven't ran into any, like, injuries that stopped me from showing up to work or whatnot. So.
You said you didn't really miss work, but was there ever a time you had to miss a few days for ring injury? Vinny?
Well, you know, I think Sign Guy might recall this. It was early in both of our careers, but I was working for HPW 1,000 years ago, and I went up to my old high school to advertise the next show. And I'm in gear, you know. I'm a young kid, okay? I'm marking out for myself. And I go out there, and I was just giving the other kid a body to work with, right? And he was getting way, way too aggressive. And at one point, he binds me up in a bear hug-like thing, and he went to throw me, and my foot got stuck in the canvas, the wrestling mat. And when he turned me, it turned my foot 180 degrees in the wrong direction. So my mother was the EMT that day. That's the funny part of the story. But she scoops me up and beats me all the way to the friggin' hospital. 16,000 dollars later, I had to get out of the game for 4 years because it cost my parents a lot of money when I was a kid. I did go to work as soon as I was cleared to put weight on it. I was back at work and I was limping, but by God, I was at work. You know, it happened that one time that I'm aware of.
JB, you have anything else?
Has it ever been a time, as a female wrestler, everybody loves being a wrestler, and nothing stands in that way of, you know, doing your dreams, or whatever. Has there ever been a time where you've had to, like, choose either do your job or do something that you love to do?
Yes.
Right.
Many times. Many times. I think that's an ongoing assumption for a lot of people, is that, you know, we just, as wrestlers, we just get asked that once or twice, or get told, well, why do you keep doing this? Because you just get hurt. You're not making any money. And they don't understand that it's almost a part of me. And I just absolutely love wrestling. There's something about it. You know, I honestly, a lot of the times I tell people wrestling saved my life, because, you know, I in a very dark time in my life, I found wrestling and it just never gave up on me. I mean, to have more people look at me and say, well, you have a day job. Why are you a wrestler? You're just one of those hobby wrestlers. Well, I'm here to tell you 15 years later, I'm not just a hobby wrestler. I'm a champion, damn it. And I'm not going anywhere. And I love wrestling. And whether you believe me or not, I'm still going to do wrestling as long as I possibly can. Because I feel that wrestling is a major piece of my personal story. It's major.
I totally agree.
No.
Zach, do you have anything?
Zach Winter.
As for me, I've never really had that. Had it kind of just, it's either wrestling or this done to me, because I've made it very clear, no matter where I work, whatever bar I'm working at, if you're going to put that line in front of me, then you're just going to not have a person that day, because I'm
right.
You're still, like, what little money there is on our level of pro wrestling, there's still money, and you're not going to be fucking with my money, basically.
That's
how
right.
I explain it to them.
It's just very true. Me too. I'm the same way.
No ultimatum.
you said you didn't really have that, but has there been a time at any point someone did ask it?
No. The modern society and the modern culture, the business has changed. I never got into the business for money. You know, I got into it because I wanted to give back to the fans what was given to me. You know, and that it was about giving back and giving back to the next generation, making sure that the gifts that I was given are not lost beyond me once I'm gone. But not one time has anyone ever said, you know, you gotta either do this or do that. You know, I've always had the opportunity to go.
Mr. Hickman, have you ever been told in a service one or the other?
Being in the service, we don't have a choice. So
right.
Once you sign that contract, whatever the military tells you to do, that's what you're going to do. So, I've been blessed to not have to have that issue, but basically if the mission comes, you know, if the mission is absolutely necessary, there's no say so. As much as I love wrestling, it's either I do what they tell me to do or I go to jail, and I don't want to go to jail. So,
It's not that bad, honestly.
I mean, yeah, but being out of jail is better.
Yeah, I don't want to find out. I mean, I'm sure it's not that bad, but I'm good where I'm at. So.
Anything else, JB?
No, that's all the questions that I had at the time. So I'm
All right.
So
well.
QT.
Yep. QT Vokes, do you have some questions? And there's help you all.
Yes, I do. The first question is to Zach Winters. Zach, if you could travel back in time, who would you rather bartend for, Andre the Giant or Ric Flair?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, actually, like, I found the cheat. There's a cheat to this one because those two travel around so much that I'd be bartending for both of them. Probably Andre because he was probably the more he'd drink the most, but he'd probably be the most generous when it came to that fat tip.
Yeah, people often when they dined with Andre the Giant, he would say, if anyone tried to pay for the tab, he would go, "No, boss, I pay." That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Zach, as a bartender, you probably get tired of hearing sob stories of people saying they should have, could have, and would have. For instance, like on the movie The Waterfront, the famous line is, "I could have been a contender." My question is, have you ever gone on YouTube and looked up the video where Daffy Duck and Porky Pig are at the bar and a rough-looking outlaw challenges Porky Pig and Daffy Duck to drink a drink that is very strong, and the bartender makes it out of cobra fangs, Old Panther, and hydrogen bitters?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I have, because I'm that old.
I'm not that old, and I've seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, Sunny Days, do you yourself believe you could have taken this challenge and downed the drink of Old Panther, hydrogen bitters, and Cobra Fang juice?
I don't know. I'm still kind of curious about the question. I'm not exactly – I don't think I understand the question. Would you repeat it, please?
Well, I was saying that Zach may have been getting tired of listening to people could have, and like on the movie The Waterfront, I could have been a contender, but I'm not sure how this segued into Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. I apologize to you, Zach, for that. I'm not sure.
You do
I'm a Porky Pig fan, so I'm going to say Porky Pig did it with a clothespin on his nose.
Well, okay. All right.
And then Andre the Giant came and said, "No, boss, I pay."
Oh, okay. Well, I think Sunny Days, Turnbuckle Turmoil, might hire you as an extra, like a historian. Yes, a historian for past shows.
Okay.
On
is
what
there a guaranteed payout, or do I have to show my worth first?
You'll have to do your work first. Yes. Fine guy will pay you, though. Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, this question is for Vinny Vachetti. Vinny, are there any truth to the rumors from my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, that back in 1977, the directors of the movie Rocky contacted you because they knew you were a butcher and they wanted you to work with Rocky as he pounded beef in the meat freezer?
Joke's on you. I'm old, but I'm not that old, Jack. No, okay.
Fun
no.
Story. I pounded you before we started the show.
Oh, okay. That's pretty. Okay. All right. Well, okay. So they didn't do that. Okay. All right. Hey, Vinny, can you clear up this question? What is the cut of meat called the Delmonico?
Oh, Lord, we have this argument all the time. All right, look, so when some schmuck wants a ribeye steak and he wants you to ruin it, okay, he wants you to ruin it, there's a smidge of the meat between the New York and the ribeye that doesn't have a cap on it, okay? And until you get to the cap, that cut of meat is considered a Delmonico. Now, in some places, they want you to remove the cap entirely so they can have that marbling on the inside with it. And that's how we used to cut it when I was younger. And it goes back and forth. Some people want to do it this way. Some people want to do it that way. It depends on where you're from. It depends on who taught you. You know, everyone's got a different style, and everyone's going to tell you you're wrong. You know, but yeah, no, it comes off of the ribeye.
Okay, all right. Mr. Bichetti, have you yourself ever dipped a piece of Delmonico steak into frozen liquid nitrogen and used it as a foreign object?
No. I at one time in my career, I was trying to dry age and let the sun and nature do its thing on a femur bone to preserve it the way the moon dogs had theirs, and I couldn't get past the stage where the bugs wouldn't leave it alone, so I just threw it away. But no, I've never done anything of that nature. Now, I am a sick puppy. I will cut slices of sirloin and things off the block that I'm working on and put it right in my mouth. I am not scared at all. Eat off the block, and I'm a big fan of raw steak tartare sort of thing.
Wow. Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Mr. Bichetti, did you ever see the episode on Malcolm in the Middle where Reese, the troubled middle kid, gets a job in the butcher shop?
You know, I don't think I did. I'm familiar. I've probably seen the clip of that in my existence, but I did not watch that show intentionally.
Okay. Well, Mr. Bichetti, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil give out homework assignments. Your homework assignment is to go on YouTube and look up Reese Get the Job as a Butcher.
And your homework assignment is to kiss my ass.
Okay. All right. Well, Jack Winters, in the late 1800s, bartender Hellcat Maggie used to bartend in the Five Point sections of New York. And she was the bartender that filed her teeth to points and often got into gang fights, like with the Daybreak Boys and the Dead Rabbits. Did you yourself, are you familiar with this legendary bartender, Hellcat Maggie?
Yeah, I'm big into the history of bartending, and of course, bartending has it's like pro wrestling, has its own assortment of weird characters, and yeah, I'm pretty familiar with Hellcat Maggie. I know she kept a jar of ears of people who try to skip out on the tab, and I try to implement that into my bar.
Isn't that the woman who was a pirate?
No, not that I know of. There might have been a different Hellcat Maggie that was a pirate.
Are you sure? She was also known as a pirate, and she would go on the ships, and she dressed as a man, and then when she had hostages, she would expose her front breast to show that she was a woman and chop their heads off. Is this the wrong cat?
Hellcat
Maggie? Well, back breasts were really popular back then, so she decided to just go with the front.
Oh.
I've known some workers with back breasts.
Right? Yeah, me too.
To be fair, I heard that she was the first transgender pirate in history. Transgender.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Well,
I've never heard it.
They need a place in history, too. Might as well. Hellcat Maggie, huh?
Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Hickman, do you ever go on YouTube yourself and look up military history?
No, because... So when we... the way we acquire our rank, we have to study Air Force history, military history. So on occasion, if I run across it, maybe on Facebook, like I'll read about it. But 9 times out of 10, I don't want to see it anymore because, you know, shoving your nose in the book for 6 months at a time so you can make rank, you kind of get tired of it. So.
Okay. All right. So you yourself have not gone on YouTube and looked up the Nazi death camps of Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz and never applied to be a tour guide there?
I've heard of it. I think I did run across it reading it, but no, I didn't look it up on YouTube, and absolutely not. I will not be a tour guide there. That scared me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I concur.
They say the birds don't chirp there, the birds. Okay.
Exactly. That makes it even better. I don't want to be there.
Well, Sunny Days, you have what's called a slightly bubbly personality. You're always there at intermission greeting the fans. Have you ever thought about being a sports commentator?
I thought about it. And as many times when I've been at wrestling shows, I've even popped in and done some color commentating. Color commentating actually is very popular in the South. So the first couple of years of my wrestling career, that's what we did, was you'd have a good guy color commentator and a bad guy. I actually started my wrestling career being approached by a promoter who asked if I would be willing to do in-ring announcing because he thought that I had such a bubbly personality, I would be good at it. That's not what happened in the end, though. I said, boom, boom, fuck him!
All right, well, guys, we are getting down to the last little bit of the show, and I want to make sure everybody on here has a chance to say anything they want, plug and promote anything, the social medias, merchandises, the upcoming appearances, anything you want. We'll go in order that I have known you. So, Vinny, that would be you to start.
All right. I won't be long-winded this time. Okay. So, BMFX, March 20th, they got a show up in Lafayette, Indiana, if the government allows us to do said things in the future. But, no, currently I am working for Guthrie Creek Butchery and Deli. That is in Bedford, Indiana, on 5th Street. We are a custom-cut meat shop with local beef raised on the farm here in Lawrence County. Lawrence County jobs, Lawrence County processing. All right. We're working our way up the food chain, so to speak, to get custom slaughtering in our own control. We're going to build a slaughterhouse. We're going to do a whole nine yards. We're going to create business. We're going to create jobs in this county. I'm finally out of the retail corporate world. No more corporate telling me how to do my job because I am, you know, 20 years at this. Leave me alone. I make money. So, come see us at Guthrie Creek. We'll take care of you, baby.
Miss Days?
Yes, sir. I have a Facebook you can catch me at. My Facebook name is Mindy.Easton. That's me, Mindy. I'm also known as Sunny Days. You can also catch me at American Family Insurance in Shelton, Washington. We are nationwide. I work for a lovely gentleman by the name of Eric Smileski, and you can catch me for your insurance needs anytime, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. I am their marketing specialist, and the specialist part means I make you feel special when you call in while I'm giving you a quote. If you are, in fact, looking for wrestling merchandise, just hit me up on my Facebook. You can hit me up on my Instagram, which is Stormy_Knights13. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, which is Sunny_Days13. That's me. I make all my merch. I have new dog tags. I have new T-shirts. I've got new ball caps and headbands and bracelets. Just let me know. Slide right into my DM. Not with those pictures, please, because I'll give you a picture of me signed, and I'll even send it in the mail.
Speaking
until
of DM
the government
pictures,
tells us otherwise, I am not doing any shows, but I am on a weekly basis training with either regular collegiate wrestlers or lucha wrestlers because, well, they're more my size and I can throw them around a little better, and they're fun. That's me in a nutshell. Hugs and headlocks, everybody. Boom, pow.
Oh, Reba. Zach Winters, what about you?
Oh, man. It's my turn now.
Your turn.
As it's been said, a couple times, wrestling's been shut down, but I will be in Pacheco, California this weekend. We will be streaming it. I'm not sure on what platform yet, but as soon as I find out, there will be links all over my Facebook. Also, you can catch me every Friday, the Dark Asylum podcast. It is a weekly entertainment variety show with like wrestling sprinkles spread throughout that I do with my brothers, Darkness and Big Vicious. Also, buy my shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Just search the chosen one, Zach Winters. I have new designs up. Buy them. Give me your money, and I will give you shirts. Also, if you want Freak Show shirts, we have an Amazon store. If you type in the Dark Asylum podcast, our Freak Show and Dark Asylum podcast T-shirts do come up. If you want to... great drink made by me, come to the Allison Inn and Spa in Newburgh, Oregon. That's about it.
Yeah, what's the address?
2525 Allison Lane. It's the big luxury resort building.
I think maybe it's time for a road trip.
Might be.
Indeed. Mr. Hickman, not least, but lastly, why don't you tell us anything you want to say, plug, or promote?
So first and foremost, Idaho's home away from home, so I want to plug in Wrestle Club. You know, Wrestle Club is where I started. Even through this pandemic, they're still doing online shows. They're doing their thing, amazing, doing an amazing job. So please go on Facebook, look them up on YouTube. They even have an Instagram account. Please follow them for some great entertainment. They're doing a great job. You will not be disappointed. Number two, I want to plug in my own podcast. I haven't done it in over a year, but I'm getting ready to make a return very shortly. That podcast name is Smooth TV. Not only do I do wrestling topics, I also I try and get different people because I want to get to know the person, whether you're in the military, whether you're a butcher, whether you're a nurse. I want to know what you do, why you do, and what inspires you to be the best that you can. So please, Smooth TV is getting ready to come out. New episode, I'd say probably a week or less. Also, if you guys want to follow me, I have a Instagram. And don't judge me. I'm a nerd. I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan. It's Vogeta, V-O-G-E-T-A on Instagram.
I love Dragon Ball Z.
I adore Dragon Ball. I don't judge you at all.
Perfect. I love it.
No judgment here.
And that's
me
where
and
that
my
name
daughter
comes from.
Falls deep in Super right now.
I've watched Super and Z. I've watched it back and forwards and backwards. Like, I know almost everything.
Yeah.
That's how big of a nerd I am.
Yes, same.
But you can also add me on Facebook. This is Roger I.V. Hickman. And in terms of me as a wrestler, the question that's been bugging people is when I'm going to return to the ring, because I did have a partial knee replacement in October. The answer to that is soon, but it will be a surprise. So tune in, follow me on both platforms, and you will see it'll be amazing once I return.
All right. And JB Moonshine, Can we still buy your T-shirts?
Yes, I got merch. Or whatever. You hit me up on Facebook, and I will send you something or ship it out, figure it out. Right now, with everything being shut down, I don't have nothing going on besides I will be going to California with that, and same thing. We'll be streaming and be up on Facebook as soon as we know anything.
I have no idea. I know they're streaming it, but...
Yeah, I know just as much as you do. Not a whole lot. But as soon as we know anything, it will be posted. We'll let people know. But yeah, besides that, I mean, everybody just has to stay safe, and hopefully the election gets back to a quick.
Hopefully that is very true. I got T-shirts, too. You can message me there on the Book of Faces or at the Twitters, and I can get a shirt sold to you and in the mail. My next booking is the last Saturday of this month. I will be returning to Hauser, Idaho for Northwest Pro. Then the 13th of March, I'll be back to Wrestle Club, Mr. Hickman's home promotion. And then, just announced, I will be in the Redneck Rumble for Gouge Wrestling, my return to Gouge, June 5th, as long as all the restrictions are lifted and things go according to plan, which I hope they do. But I want to thank everybody for being on today. Definitely appreciate every single one of you for taking time out to be on here today. Everybody continue to be safe. Hopefully I'll see all of you soon. I'll probably listen to Zach's Dark Asylum podcast on Friday. So that should do it for this week. We'll be back with you next week. Next Sunday, it's music and wrestling and how that connects. We'll have some sports entertainment music aficionados on with us. Should be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you then.
Left to right, so why you break the bottom up? I think I'm picking it all right. They went to a party and what did I